translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So, this is the secret of success, according to Srila Prabhupada. One must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great devotion and faith. Whatever one has in one's possession should be offered to the spiritual master, and in the association of saintly persons and devotees, one should worship the Lord, hear the glories of the Lord with faith, glorify the transcendental qualities and activities of the Lord, always meditate on the Lord's lotus feet, and worship the deity of the Lord strictly according to the injunctions of Shastra and Guru. Purport. In the previous verse, it has been said that the process which immediately increases one's love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the best of the many thousands of ways to become free from the entanglement of material existence. It is also said, dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. Actually, the truth of religious principles is extremely confidential. Nonetheless, it can be understood very easily if one adopts the principles of religion. As it is said, dharmam tushakshad bhagavat pranitam. The process of religion is enunciated by the Supreme Lord because He is the supreme authority. This is also indicated in the previous verse by the word bhagavato dita. The injunctions or directions of the Lord are infallible, and their benefits are fully assured. According to His directions, which are explained in this verse, the perfect form of religion is bhakti yoga. To practice bhakti yoga, one must first accept a bona fide spiritual master. Srila Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.274-75, advises, Guru Padashraya Tasmat Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam Vishrambhena Guru Seva Sadhuvartmanu Vartanam Saddharma Prachabhogadi Tyaga Krishnasya Hetave. One's first duty is to accept a bona fide spiritual master. The student or disciple should be very inquisitive. He should be eager to know the complete truth about eternal religion, Sanatan Dharma. The words Guru Shushrushaya mean that one should personally serve the spiritual master by giving him bodily comforts, helping him in bathing, dressing, sleeping and eating, and so on. This is called Guru Shushrushanam. A disciple should serve the spiritual master as a menial servant, and whatever he has in his possession should be dedicated to the spiritual master. Praner arther dia vacha. Everyone has his life, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words, and all of them should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the via medium of the spiritual master. Everything should be offered to the spiritual master as a matter of duty, but the offering should be made to the spiritual master with heart and soul, not artificially to gain material prestige. This offering is called arpana. Moreover, one should live among devotees, saintly persons, to learn the etiquette and proper behavior of devotional service. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that whatever is offered to the spiritual master should be offered with love and affection, not for material adoration. Similarly, it is recommended that one associate with devotees, but there must be some discrimination. Actually, a sadhu, a saintly person, must be saintly in his behavior. Sadhava sad achara. Unless one adheres to the standard behavior, one's position as a sadhu, a saintly person, is not complete. Therefore, a Vaishnav, a sadhu, must completely adhere to the standard of behavior. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says that a Vaishnava, a person initiated into the Vaishnava cult, should be offered respect befitting a Vaishnava, which means that he should be offered service and prayers. However, one should not associate with him if he is not a fit person with whom to associate. Srila Prabhupada ki Oma Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. In September of 1965, Srila Prabhupada, on board the Jaladuta, arrived in New York Harbor. Specifically, the ship docked at Brooklyn Pier, and Prabhupada stepped off the Jaladuta. Prabhupada said, when I came off the ship, of course he only had 40 rupees with him, and he said, when I came off the ship, I didn't even know whether I should turn left or whether I should turn right. As soon as Prabhupada came off the ship, he went to the Sindhya steamship ticket office. And the first thing he inquired was, when's the next ship going back? And the ticket agent, his name was Jamie Forrester, he explained to Prabhupada that there was another ship going back in 2 months. So Prabhupada said, okay. He kept that in the back of his mind. Of course, then there was a traveler's aid representative who took Srila Prabhupada to Port Authority Bus Terminal. And from Port Authority Bus Terminal, they made their way to Butler, Pennsylvania. Prabhupada had come to America to share the timeless wisdom, these ancient treasures of this knowledge with the whole world. Interestingly, as Prabhupada came off the Jaladuta, two individuals, their names were Keith and Howard, and they were living in New York, and they were spiritual seekers. They were trying to find out the meaning of life, and they came to the conclusion that we can't figure it out unless we find a spiritual master. So they decided, what better place to go to find a spiritual master than India? So as Prabhupada came off the Jaladuta at Brooklyn Pier to give Krishna consciousness to America, two individuals from America got onto that same ship and went to India trying to find their guru. They went to India. They traveled around for many months, and no doubt they met amazing people there. But after some months, they came back, still not finding their guru. So here they were back in the USA, and Howard, one time he was walking down past the Bowery, heading towards 2nd Avenue. And as he was walking down the street, he saw an amazing sight, a sight that he'd never seen before, at least not in the Bowery area. As he was walking down the street, he saw a man, an old man, walking up the road. And this old man was shining, he was effulgent, he was in saffron robes. They were flowing in the wind, and he was immediately captured by that scene. Immediately he went up to this personality, knowing him to be some kind of guru or spiritual monk. And he stopped, Srila Prabhupada stopped, and they looked at each other. And Howard looked at Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Are you from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes." And then Prabhupada looked at him and said, "Are you from India?" And he said, "No, but I've just been to India and I'm looking for a guru." Like this, they made their first contact with Srila Prabhupada. And Howard was so amazed by the whole interaction with Srila Prabhupada that he immediately ran back to the Mott Street apartment, where he met up with his friends, Wally, Chuck, Keith, and he told them, "You wouldn't guess what's just happened to me. I've just met a guru, and we should go and hear what he has to say." So it's explained, Brahmande Brahmate Ganabhagyavan Jeev. Everyone in this world is wandering from here to there, to India, to this place, to that place, trying to find happiness. But only when one becomes a Bhagyavan Jeev, only when one becomes a fortunate soul, do they contact the spiritual master. And that spiritual master comes by the mercy of Krishna. So it's said that Krishna, when he's merciful, he sends one a spiritual master. And that spiritual master, through training and instruction to the disciple, gives that disciple Krishna. So in this verse, Prabhupada explained in the last purport that the secret of success is explained in this very verse. And in this very verse, Prahlad is saying that one must accept the bona fide spiritual master and render service unto him with great faith and devotion. This is the key to success. And this is explained all throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. This is explained in every single shastra, the absolute necessity to surrender to a spiritual master. Of course, people in the modern world don't want to surrender to a spiritual master. In the 60s, when Prabhupada came to America, the motto was, "Don't trust anyone over 30. Right? You are your own guru. Follow your heart." Of course, the Vedic scriptures say something different. There's a famous saying, one who accepts himself as a spiritual master also accepts a fool for a disciple. Right? So one must accept a spiritual master. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita doesn't start until Arjuna says to Krishna, "Shishyasteham sadimam tvam prapannam." Then the Bhagavad Gita comes. The Srimad Bhagavatam is just a series of conversations between a disciple and a guru. Vyasadeva approaches Narad Muni. Brahma approaches Krishna. Vidura approaches Maitreya. Like this, it's just a series of conversations between a guru and a disciple. If we look at the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on this, manifested his Leela for 48 years. And if you look in the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's two instances which are the biggest turning points in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. The first one is at the age of 16 when he goes to Gaya and gets initiated by Ishvara Puri. That initiation, all the acharyas commentate, is actually the biggest turning point in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life. And the other big turning point in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life is when he takes sannyas. And what does he do at that time? He goes to Katwa and he approaches Keshava Bharati and requests Keshava Bharati to be his sannyas guru and requests Keshava Bharati for sannyas initiation. So even in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see that the two most important instances are instances which are all about surrender to a guru, approaching a guru, and initiation from a guru. Here Prabhupada says, even in the nectar of devotion, Rupa Goswami is outlining 64 different items of devotional service. But Rupa Goswami is saying, you cannot perform these items of devotional service if ado guru padashraya, if in the beginning you don't accept a spiritual master or surrender unto a spiritual master. So we can go on and on. Madhurya Kadambini also explains the same thing. You can go through every single scripture and you cannot fail to miss this point. No matter how hard we try, we cannot miss this point. That secret of success in spiritual life is surrender to a guru and service to a guru and to please a guru. That is the secret of success, Prabhupada says. So I thought today we have 20 minutes. I thought we could reflect a bit on this relationship between a spiritual master and a disciple, what the spiritual master offers to the disciple and how the disciple becomes trained by the spiritual master. There's two things. One thing is making a connection with the spiritual master. But the other thing is for those who have a connection with a spiritual master to make it a very meaningful connection and a very deep connection. And so, with everyone's permission, I wanted to go through this song. Can you hand this up, if possible? This is a very wonderful song written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, he wrote a collection of songs entitled Sharanagati, Surrender. And in these songs, he outlines all the essential mindsets, the moods, the realizations, and the different approaches that one should have in spiritual life in order to become perfect. So maybe we can give some to the ladies. So I thought what we could do is go through this song line by line. We'll sing, not line by line, one stanza at a time, and try to reflect on some of the teachings and words of advice that it offers us. Like that. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Guru Eda Se Tena Peka Tehina Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Guru Eda Se Tena Peka Tehina Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Guru Eda Se Pekate hina Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya Karave Dase Tena Pekate hina Sakale Sahane Baladiya Karo Nijamane Spriha hina Sakale Sahane Baladiya karo nijamane sprihahina Sakale sahane Baladiya karo
jamane sprihahina sakale sahane baladiya karo ni jamane sprihahina.
So in this first verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Gurudev, give to this servant just one drop of mercy. I am lower than a blade of grass. Give me all help. Give me strength. Let me be as you are, without desires or aspirations. So here we see that the beginning of a guru-disciple relationship is humility. Of course, we came to this world because we wanted to be independent. Independent of Krishna, independent of God. And then when we come to this world, we come with that independent mentality. And then to approach someone and surrender your independence to that person is very, very difficult because of false ego. And therefore, humility is the beginning of all knowledge and the beginning of spiritual life. As Krishna says in the Gita, Amanitvam Adambitvam. He talks about many different items of knowledge, but he says if it doesn't start with humility, it's all worthless. So we see in all guru-disciple relationships, this humility is being stressed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also being trained in humility by Ishwarapuri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And still he's explaining that he met Ishwarapuri. And he said, Guru More Murka Deki, Korila Shashan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining his meeting with Ishwarapuri and he's saying, my spiritual master said to me, you're a fool. You have no qualification to understand Vedanta. Krishna Mantra Japa Sada A Mantra Sara. Just give up all of this scholastic endeavors and just chant Krishna's names. A mantra sar. This is the essence of everything. So one could say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mean, he was Nimai Pandit. He was living in Nadia, which was a seat of learning in India for great scholars. And he was known as the topmost Pandit. But Ishwarapuri just called him a murkha, a fool, a nonsense, a rascal, as Prabhupada would say. And in this way, showed that this quality of humility in a guru-disciple relationship is essential. Even we see in the Bhakti Ratnakara is explained how one time Rupa Goswami was compiling Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Of course, you can go to that place. I was just there. Terakadamba, a very wonderful place with a very wonderful temple there. So as Rupa Goswami was compiling Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Jiva Goswami would be right beside him, fanning him as he compiled these wonderful verses. And it's explained in the Bhakti Ratnakara that one time Vallabhacharya came there. And Vallabhacharya came and he saw Rupa Goswami and Rupa Goswami offered him all respects. And Vallabhacharya came and he saw that Rupa Goswami was compiling some literature. So he said, let me have a look. And he looked at the Mangalacharan of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and as Vallabhacharya was looking at it, he said, well, there's some mistakes here. Maybe you should give it to me for editing. I'll edit it and then come back to you. Of course, Rupa Goswami was a great scholar, but extremely humble as well. So he said, no problem. Please, thank you for offering that service. Jiva Goswami, on the other hand, was beside himself. How could this Vallabhacharya come with such impudence and claim to be able to correct Rupa Goswami? So as Vallabhacharya went away from that place towards the Jamuna, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Goranithai ki jai. As Vallabhacharya went towards the Jamuna, Jiva Goswami followed him. And Jiva Goswami began to question him, well, what's the problem? So then Vallabhacharya started saying, this is a problem, this is a problem. And every point, Jiva Goswami just defeated him. Finally, Vallabhacharya ran out of arguments. And Vallabhacharya submitted, no, actually, there's nothing wrong with Rupa Goswami's writing. So then he went back to Rupa Goswami and he said, you know, this person who's with you, your nephew, my God, he's an amazing scholar. He actually set me straight. There's nothing wrong with your writing. And then Vallabhacharya went away from that place. As soon as Rupa Goswami found out that Jiva Goswami had tried to correct or had successfully corrected Vallabhacharya, Rupa Goswami became extremely angry. He said, this person is a senior Vaishnava. He came to offer some service and you could not tolerate that. You, with all your scholastic prowess, defeated him. And then Rupa Goswami looked at Jiva Goswami and he said, you're not fit to live in Vrindavan. You should leave this place and come back when you've developed proper humility. Now one may say, Jiva Goswami, I mean, he was just defending Rupa Goswami. He didn't do anything wrong. Of course, acharyas commentate that we should also not see this as a blemish on Jiva Goswami's character. But through this pastime, Rupa Goswami was explaining the very, very essential nature of humility. One devotee was explaining that the spiritual world is covered by a net. Just like sometimes you see in houses, they have curtains, but then they have a net behind the curtain. So one devotee was explaining that the spiritual world is like that. There's a net. And from far, it looks like you can't get past it. But when you go very close, you realize that there's very small holes in the net. And if you want to access the spiritual world and enter the spiritual world, then you have to become small enough to pass through that hole. So, like this, the spiritual master, through different means and techniques and instructions, makes one lower than a blade of grass, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining here. And he says to the spiritual master, let me be as you are, without desires or aspirations. Of course, speaking for myself, we have many aspirations, many desires. We want to make our mark on the world. We want to be remembered. We want that when we leave, people will miss us. But here, the guru has no such desires or aspirations. The guru is just happy to be an instrument of his guru. And in this way, being completely desireless, he also trains the disciple to become similarly desireless. So we're going to the next verse.
Sakale samana korite shakati deho nata jata jata. 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 Tabe to gaibo harinama sukhe aparada hoy behata. Tabe to gaibo harinama sukhe aparada hoy behata. Tabe to gaibo harinama sukhe aparada hoy behata. Tabe to gaibo harinama sukhe aparada hata.
So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I offer you all respects, for thus I may have the energy to know you correctly. Then, by chanting the holy name in great ecstasy, all my offenses will cease. So if the perfection of life is to please Krishna, then we know that Krishna is pleased when the spiritual master is pleased. But how do we know how to please the spiritual master? Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays here, please give me the energy so that I may know you correctly, so that I may understand your heart, I may understand what your desire is. There's a story that many of you may have heard before of one guru who was traveling on a horse and his disciples were following another horse. And as they were going along, the guru dropped one of his books off the horse as the horses were going. And so as the book dropped, he looked at his disciples and they didn't do anything. They didn't pick it up. They didn't do anything. So the guru looked at him and he said, you know, what are you doing? The books just fell off the horse. Pick it up. So the disciples said, well, Guru Maharaj, you didn't tell us to, so we're not going to do it. So the guru said, okay, listen, if something drops off the horse, pick it up, okay? So they said, okay. So they went further. Of course, even animals have the call of nature. So as they were going along, the horse began to empty its stomach and was passing stool. So as this was happening, the guru looked back and he saw his disciples jumping off the horse, going to catch that stool. And the guru said, what are you doing? And the disciples said, well, Guru Maharaj, you told us that if something drops from the horse, we should pick it up. So that's what we're doing. And the guru said, my God, just stop right there. You don't pick this up. That's not part of the part of the program here. So then the guru told them, okay, look, I will give you a list. If any of these things fall off the horse, pick it up. And obviously on that list, there was no stool to pick up. So they went further along. And as the horse got a little excited, the guru himself dropped off the horse. So as they were walking along, the guru was shouting out to the disciple, hey, come on, wait for me, you know. So they picked up the list and they were looking. No, you're not mentioned on this list. So I'm not going to pick you. And then they went off. And then the guru, he thought, my God, better off. I'm probably better off without these guys, you know. It's a simple story to make a very deep point. That one may dedicate themselves and say, I am a follower of the guru. I follow what the guru says to the T. But if they haven't understood the heart of the guru, what the guru actually wants, then in their endeavors to be fanatically loyal to the guru, loyal to the guru's words, they may actually harm the guru or displease the guru if they haven't understood the heart of what the guru wants. Of course, unfortunately, we even find this in the Krishna Consciousness Society today, that some people who claim to be staunch followers of Srila Prabhupada, who claim that we have nothing but Srila Prabhupada, we are focused only on Srila Prabhupada, and we follow him as our leader. Unfortunately, because they haven't understood Prabhupada's heart, they actually do a disservice to Srila Prabhupada. So we have to understand the heart of the guru. And Srila Prabhupada, he understood the heart of Bhaktisiddhanta perfectly. When Prabhupada once formulated one of his Vyasa Puja offerings to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he wrote one stanza, absolute is sentient, thou hast proved. Impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. And when Bhaktisiddhanta read that, he said, my God, he's understood. He's understood my mission. Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was very happy. Of course, even on the banks of Radhakund, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj gave Prabhupada the instruction of how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And in that one short interaction, Prabhupada understood perfectly the plans and desires of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj and executed them. And how do we know the spiritual master perfectly? By hearing. As is explained here, Guru Shushrushaya, one should hear the spiritual master. And Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he even noted that about Srila Prabhupada. He said, I've noted him. He hears very well. He doesn't go away like that. So like this, when we serve in a humble state of mind and we serve rendering favorable service for the pleasure of the Guru, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, then by chanting the holy name in great ecstasy, all my offenses will cease. So as we perform humble service and simultaneously chant the holy name, then gradually the heart becomes purified of all offenses. Go to the next verse.
Kabehe no kripa lobiye jana kritartha hoi benatha. 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 Shakti buddhihina ami ati dina koro more atma satha. Shakti buddhihina ami ati dina koro more atma satha. Shakti buddhihina ami ati dina koro more atma satha. Shakti buddhihina ami ati dina koro more atma satha.
So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, when will such mercy fall to this one who is weak and devoid of intelligence? Allow me to be with you. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining how the spiritual master is always with the disciple, if the disciple keeps the spiritual master within the heart. One time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj was giving a class in front of Srila Prabhupada. And at one point, he was explaining Srila Prabhupada's life story. And he said, and our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he only met his spiritual master 7 times, or I can't remember the number. And he only met him so many times. Very few times he met him. And as Tamal Krishna Maharaj said that, Srila Prabhupada started to laugh. So he was a bit thrown off. He was speaking and Srila Prabhupada started to laugh, but he continued on. And at the end of the lecture, he said to Srila Prabhupada, when I said that, why did you laugh? And Prabhupada said, it's not that I met my spiritual master these handful of times. My spiritual master was always with me because I kept the spiritual master and his instructions always within my heart. So therefore, even I think in some of Srila Prabhupada's books, it's explained this very nice line that he lives forever in his books, and the follower lives with him. So here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, allow me to be with you. Allow me to carry you always within my heart. Allow me to always benefit from your association, which is not simply association in the physical form, but association on a much deeper level. Of course, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in his books explains that there's 2 ways in which we can constantly be with our spiritual master. And he explains that every day one can write a diary and write a letter to their spiritual master explaining what they have done today and what things they need to work on and what they're trying to achieve for the pleasure of their spiritual master. And he explains that this can be in a written form. Or even every day, in front of a picture of Srila Prabhupada or one's guru, they can just reveal what has gone on in their day. And in this way, every day becomes a meditation and a day in which we're traveling with the spiritual master in our heart, always like this. I know one devotee, he told me when I first came to live here, he said what he used to do, which is that every day he would do his service, and at the end of the day, he would always go to Prabhupada's rooms just before they would put Prabhupada to rest. And for 10 minutes, he would just sit in front of Srila Prabhupada and just say what he did and mistakes that he made and things he needs to improve on for tomorrow. And he said, in this way, I was always, my whole life became an offering to Srila Prabhupada. I was always conscious of him. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying to the spiritual master, allow me to be with you. Allow me to carry you in my heart always. And we'll do the last verse.
Jogyata vichare kichnai pai tomara karuna sar. 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 Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya pranana rakhibo aar. Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya pranana rakhibo aar. Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya pranana rakhibo aar. Karuna na hoile kandiya kandiya pranana rakhibo aar.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur finishes the song by saying, if you examine me, you'll find no good qualities. Your mercy is all that I am made of. If you're not merciful unto me, I can only weep, and I will not be able to maintain my life. So like this, we see the very mood of a Vaishnava is the mood of a beggar, actually. Here, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Jogyata vichare kichu nahi mor. If you look at me, you'll find nothing of value. I don't have so much to give. I don't have so many good qualities, any abilities. He says, Tomara karuna sar, whatever mercy you give me, whatever mercy has been bestowed upon me, is all that I'm made of. That's the only substance within my character. Like this. We find that Rupa Goswami, he makes a very wonderful prayer in which he explains, Na prema shravanadi bhakti rapiva yogo tava vaishnavo jnanam kashva karma va kiyadaho sajjati rapyastiva hinarthadika sadake tvaitatha pyacchaida mula sati hey gopi janavallabha vyathayate ha ha madashe vamam.
In his deep humility, he says, Na prema, I have no love for Krishna. Na shravanadi, I don't have great knowledge. Bhakti rapiva, I don't have any real devotion. Jnanam ka, I haven't studied many scriptures. Shubha karma va, I don't have so many pious credits underneath my belt. Sajjati rapyastiva, I didn't really come from a great family. And then he says, Hinarthadika sadake tvaitata. But even though I don't have any of these things, I still have a firm hope within me that because you are so merciful, your mercy will be bestowed upon me
And when I'm invested with your mercy, then even though I don't have any of these things, my life will become meaningful like that. So we see that here this kind of mood of a beggar is actually the mood of a Vaishnava, and is the mood which can really be cultivated within a guru-disciple relationship, where the disciple feels completely dependent upon the empowerment and the mercy of the guru. So maybe I'll just say one last thing I was thinking of. In my younger days, coming up to 30 now, obviously when you're going to school, you had certain days which you didn't really like because of the lessons, certain lessons you didn't like. So, you know, would fake an illness or something, stay at home. And I remember sometimes when you used to stay at home, what do? You know, there's nothing much to do, so you turn on the TV and watch the TV, and obviously daytime TV, not the most interesting. But there used to be this one show on daytime TV called Supermarket Sweep. I don't know if anyone ever watched that. Dale Winton. And for those of you who weren't fortunate enough to watch that game show, the game was basically that a person would be given a shopping trolley, and the shopping trolley would be empty. And then they would have 3 minutes, and they'd made up this kind of mock supermarket. So with this trolley, they'd have 3 minutes to go running around every single aisle in different places, trying to collect as many things as they can in the trolley. And then the game would be at the end, they'd go to the checkout counter, and whoever kind of got the goods which were of the most value, they won. And then I was thinking, life in this world is like actually Supermarket Sweep. Because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, Jogyata vichare kichu nahi mora, we don't have anything. We're empty. We come in with the empty shopping trolley. And then what we have in this life is we have a certain amount of time, 50 years, 60 years. And in that certain amount of time, we actually have to go on a mad rush around this world, meeting different people, rendering different types of service, and in different ways just trying to attract the mercy of Krishna. And then hopefully at the end of life, when we come back with our supermarket shopping trolley full of mercy, which has been invested in us by different devotees and different activities that we've performed, hopefully it will be enough to take us back to Krishna. So in Supermarket Sweep, you get 3 minutes, and you know you've got 3 minutes. In our lives, we don't know how long we've got. So here Prabhupada is explaining in this verse that the secret of success is to surrender oneself to their spiritual master, to obviously firstly make that connection, and then to make it meaningful. So in our few years we have here, hopefully we can do that, and hopefully all of you can bless me that I can do that. So I'll stop there. I've already gone over time. Thank you very much for your attention. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nitai Gaura Premanande.